Chapter 8. The wind rushing through my ears was the last thing I heard before I jolted awake, and my first thought was of frustration. This wasn't like the other times I woke up from the confusing dreams Avantal seemed to try to give me. Usually my dreams were filled with bright flashes of color and sounds all whirling by almost too fast to discern. But this time, all I could remember when I opened my eyes was that scream. And then nothing. I sighed and looked down at each of my wives tucked under my arms as they slept on peacefully. At least they had a restful night. Then I turned my head toward the window and saw through the curtains that it was still quite early. But my mind was still churning over how I felt like I was missing something. The more I tried to shake it or fall back asleep, the more that strange feeling niggled at me until I had no choice but to carefully get out of bed, get dressed, and take myself off to someplace to meditate. The balcony on the second floor where I chatted with Anwar the other day seemed to be as good of a place as any, and I wandered my way out there so I could perch on the ledge of the balcony the way I liked. As I faced the gray dawn, it was easy to slip into a familiar headspace and let my meditation carry me away. This shallow meditative headspace allowed me to try and organize things I was confused about or needed to prioritize. But other than a feeling of frustration, there was nothing this level could provide me. So I focused and pushed deeper. The woman's scream echoed in my head, but I couldn't tell if it was just a memory or if it was in real time. When I tried to grasp at it, it felt like trying to fill a sieve with sand, and I sunk deeper into my trance in order to chase it. The darkness in my field of mental vision suddenly exploded into white light, and the bottom dropped out from under me as I plummeted straight down from some unknown height. The wind, combined with the brightness of the light, left me blind, so I really didn't know if I was falling 10 feet or 100. Even after I landed, I still couldn't gauge how far I'd fallen. Only that I was now laying on something soft and spongy and staring up at a blank sky. "The Dark Realm?" I murmured to myself as I sat up. I didn't think I went that deep in my trance to end up in this place. Maybe because of the recent mindfuck I'd just had, followed by the subsequent healing of said mindfuck, I was able to slip into this realm a lot easier than before. Which would explain why one good whack to the head could land me here if I wasn't paying attention. It was definitely food for thought for later. For now, I had a couple choices. I could either meditate my way out of here and back into a more shallow headspace, or... I whipped my head to the right when I thought I could hear a faint echo of that scream. I didn't know what compelled me, but something inside me wanted to scream back every time I heard it. Then another sound caught my attention to the left, and I froze. Just because this was some mystical in-between plane of existence didn't mean it was without its dangers. In fact, anything that happened to me here could affect my body out there in some fucked-up Matrix parody I didn't want to push the limits of. Aside from that, the creatures in this place seemed to be a lot stronger than in the real world. The last battle I had with a Dark Realm monster took a comically long time, to the point where I felt like Alex versus the Stag Beetle could have an ongoing gag on a Family Guy episode, like Peter and the Giant Chicken. The fucker just wouldn't die. But eventually I did get the best of it, but not before it gave me a run for my money. I didn't particularly want to have an encore of that experience, so I was just about to pack it up and meditate my way back to my body when the noise to my left became more clear. I paused and held my breath. "Alex?" A voice beckoned me from beyond the trees. Whoever the person was sounded really close, and they knew my name. I stood up and made my way as quietly as I could into the in-between, and I followed the voice when it called out again.
Gav?
I called back when I could hear more clearly. Now that I was getting closer, I was 99% positive the familiar timbre belonged to the Ramlord. "Is that you?"
"Alex, my friend!"
He boomed when I stumbled out of the dark trees and into the clearing Gavlane Mech was in. I glanced around his clearing and smiled at the peaceful little rock pool with a few colorful fish that swam in loops around each other. I was pleased to see his bearded, grinning face instead of the clean-shaven one from last time when I stumbled across a younger him about to off himself due to guilt. Speaking of, "Are you really here right now?" I asked.
"As far as I know, our paths have crossed once more," he began.
"No, not in the realm here. I mean, are you also physically here, as in on the Isle of Tear with me as of this day?" I asked.
"Ah,"
he said, as something seemed to dawn on him.
"You are still trying to determine how the time and place thing works."
Yeah, how did you know?" I asked as I glared at him. "I thought we'd discussed the whole keeping things from me thing." The Ramlord tipped his head back and laughed, long and loud.
"Oh, Alex, I never grow old of your humor. And you are still as smart as you look like you are now."
If I didn't have a basic pop culture education about how timelines worked, I would be more confused than I currently am. I snorted and followed his example when he gestured for me to sit down with his right hand. "Since you aren't wearing your signet ring, the one which you gave me, I'm going to guess you're a future version of my friend Gavlane, correct?"
"It would appear so,"
future Gav said as he gave me my own appraisal.
"Did you say you were on Tear?"
"Yeah," I said. Past you, showed up with the family as well as the reinforcements we needed. Today is actually Siskern and Lord Griss's weddings."
"Today is the old snake's wedding, eh?"
Gav chuckled as he rubbed his chin.
"Why are you here sleeping and not preparing?"
"I was trying to meditate, but I suddenly wound up here," I said. "That's been happening a lot these days."
"Ah," he said again in that knowing tone. "I remember you telling me about this time. Your mind has been bent almost to the point of breaking, but now you're able to flex and move through the Dark Realm unlike any other."
"Oh," I said as his words made sense. "Is there a way I can, break my fall, so to speak? It's not always convenient to end up here if I'm just trying to take a cat nap or—"
"Or Rylan smacks you in the head with a tree branch," the Ramlord smirked.
"I know future me definitely wouldn't tell you that story," I said with a glare.
"No, your son did."
Future Gav's smirk turned into a full-fledged shit-eating grin.
"I didn't even have to bribe him."
"Oh, that kid is so grounded," I grumbled as I folded my arms over my chest.
"Ha!"
he burst out. And this set him off on another round of jovial laughter. Now that I was looking a little closer at the guy, I could see how this Gavlane had flecks of gray in his beard and at his temples, and it made me wonder just how far in the future Gav really was from. "Hey, how long have we been friends?" I asked.
"Nice try," he said after he caught his breath. "I have had you explain one too many pop culture time travel stories and endured many hypothetical lectures on timelines to make the mistake of revealing too much about your future."
"Fair enough," I conceded. "That sounds like me enough for me not to be mad."
"Your logic is pretty airtight," he said.
"I'd like to think so," I nodded. And after a beat, we both cracked up. "It's good to see you in here again and under much better circumstances, no matter where in time you're from."
"Is this only the second time you've seen me here?"
he asked with a tilt of his horned head.
"Yeah, the first was—"
I trailed off as I rubbed the back of my neck.
"Oh,"
he said, and then the implication of my words seemed to make sense.
"Oh, right. Yes, I was a very troubled young man at the time when we first met."
"Why didn't you ever say anything about that?" I asked.
"If this is only the second time you are seeing me here, then the Gavlane you know doesn't remember the angry young man he used to be,"
future Gav explained.
"But do not take it personally. He will figure it out in time. In the meantime, you get to be the one who knows something he doesn't for a change."
"You're absolutely right," I said with a somewhat evil laugh. "See how he likes it."
"I am glad to have run into you again, my friend,"
the older Ramlord said as he placed one of his large baseball mitts of a hand on my shoulder.
"You really did save me from making a terrible mistake, and every day I am grateful for it." I was just making sure you were around long enough to introduce me to your sister, I joked, and then laughed when he ruffled my hair.
You really haven't changed, my friend, future Gav smiled. Oh, before I go, I can give you some good advice. Go ahead and ask me a question, and I'll try to answer you as best I can.
Please do, I said. I'd really like to know every detail, but I'll honestly settle for a trick to keep me from flying off into the Dark Realm every time I close my eyes. As cool a place as this is, I don't actually get any rest or relaxation whenever I'm here.
Well, fair enough, he chuckled. Whenever you feel that gut-drop falling sensation, picture yourself landing on something solid like a wooden floor. If you visualize this, you will stop your unconsciousness from falling all the way down.
That makes a weird sort of sense, I remarked, as I pictured what he was describing. His wording was quite imagistic, which made it easy to visualize. I'll try it next time.
Future Gavlane's solid form flickered a little, and he turned his face up to the white sky.
Looks like I might be waking up.
However long we've been friends, I just wanted to say I'm glad we still are back where, or when, you are from, I said, and I thrust my arm out for him to shake.
I shall see you again soon.
The Ramlord grinned again as he clasped my forearm.
Almost immediately, his form began to turn transparent, and his grip became lighter and lighter, until I could barely feel him there at all.
Oh, before I forget, there's another little tidbit I can give you that you will hopefully thank me for later.
What is it? I asked.
Dodgeball!
He nearly shouted, just before he vanished with a shimmer like a mirage in the desert.
Dodgeball?
I asked absolutely no one as I glanced around the now empty clearing.
Thanks, Vague McVaguemeister. What the hell am I supposed to do with that?
I got up from my place in front of the rock pool and went back through the in-between forest where my own clearing was. I'd learned from last time how impossible it was to return to my body from any clearing other than the one I started in. And then I sat down in order to meditate my way out. When I opened my eyes again, I was still on the balcony's ledge, and the sun was higher in the sky than before. I was also not alone, and I saw how I had a little entourage this morning in the form of Rylan and Shay, who were both perched on the ledge with me.
You have visitors in the galley, husband,
Shay said as she continued to hold her meditative pose.
Do I? I questioned as I unfolded my legs and climbed off the ledge.
Don't let me disturb you two.
Mm-hmm,
Rylan grunted, and I had a feeling he was dozing more than meditating, so when I passed, I gave him a giant wet willy to wake him up.
God, hey!
If you're going to sleep, please don't do it on this ledge, I said. Zoe will kill me if you fall into the gaping chasm below us.
I'm up, I swear,
he said, as he tried to dry out his wet ear. Good, I said, and poked him in the ribs for good measure. Don't fall back asleep. I grinned when I saw Shay's hand creep subtly toward the edge of Rylan's tunic and hold on just in case. When I got down to the galley, I was met with the sight of Siskern and Mech sitting around the table and enjoying a cold breakfast of that leftover spiced meat, some cheese, and some rustic bread. Siskern in particular looked like he hadn't seen the light for a long time, and he was practically inhaling every bite as if it was his last meal.
Alex, you are looking fresh today,
Mech said with a broad grin as he sipped something hot from a clay mug. Then the smell hit my nostrils and drool instantly pooled in the back of my mouth.
Is that Coley?
I asked the Ramlord. Oh, please tell me it's Coley.
It is indeed Coley.
Mech chuckled as he took another sip.
Would you like some?
Oh, goddess, yes. I groaned and reached eagerly for the mug he'd already had prepared for me.
I took the liberty of making sure we had enough before we left, because I know how you are,
he said, and watched me flick off the ceramic cover on the mug that was keeping my lifeblood warm.
Oh, you're my favorite, I sighed, as I let the fragrant steam buffet against my face before I took a large gulp of the creamy, nutty, sweet drink.
It wasn't a perfect replacement to my beloved bean juice, but it was close enough, and I'd even grown to like the flavor of the Coley more than the Americanos I used to mainline on a daily basis.
I will have to say, this little enterprise of yours has really taken off back on Nata, Mech said. From what I've heard from your esteemed manager, Velrala, you have made quite a pretty coin off this nifty little drink. If the Terrans liked hot drinks as much as Natavians, I would be tempted to steal your cauliflower recipe for a royal wedding gift.
A gift? I asked, as I looked between the Ramlord and the Raptor Man.
Yes, a gift fit for a couple of Terrans, he said.
I feel like there's a custom I'm missing here, I admitted, as I took another sip of my drink. Leave it to Jenner to fuss over how good a dancer I was and completely leave out the fact I need to come up with a gift. What should I do? What's even appropriate in situations like this?
That's a good question, Mech said as he topped off his coli. And you're lucky I'm here to help.
Yeah. I pushed the big guy in the shoulder so he would get on with it. Just tell me what your gift is and why you picked it, and I'm sure I can figure out the rest.
Maybe I should start first with what a wedding gift is supposed to accomplish, he began.
And I sighed at the prospect of sitting through another lecture, no matter how fascinating. But I really had no choice. So I grabbed myself a hunk of cheese and settled in. Take it away, Gav, I said.
As you have probably come to find, a lot of duelist weddings tend to happen on the spot due to the transfer of property and assets at the end of every duel, he said. So when an Asher or otherwise decides to marry for the sake of marriage, it is seen as quite joyous indeed, and to start their new life their friends and loved ones bequeath them things with a purpose.
Is there a list or an encyclopedia of these sorts of things? I asked, as I thought of wedding registries back on Earth.
It varies from culture to culture, he explained, as he reached for more cold meat. And it also varies from status to status. For example, most common folk who decide to marry are usually given books and life advice to aid them with something practical.
And what about those who are considered royalty? I questioned. I'm pretty sure a how-to on how to raise a barn would be wasted in this scenario. At this sarcastic remark, the regent began to snicker through his mouthful of food. Raise a barn.
You are quite right, Alex, my friend.
The Ramlord ignored Siskern's adolescent snickering.
Basically, the rule is to give them something useful that will serve them for many seasons to come. Often this is something not tangible like knowledge or wisdom. But in my case, I am giving Clan Skeros clippings of all the spices Nata Isle has to offer. This way they may grow their own variety and improve the quality of their cuisine.
You did what?
The Raptor Man put down his food long enough to gape at Mech.
You're giving us spices?
It was going to be a surprise, but I decided I didn't really care about that, the Ramlord said with a pleased smile on his bearded face. What do you think? Is it honorable?
Siskern glanced down at his plate and then back up at his friend with a polaxed expression on his scaly face.
More than, he spluttered.
And a look of such gratitude overwhelmed him that it almost looked like he could be brought to tears. I didn't really blame him, because the food on this island really did suck. Big time. How am I even going to compete with that? I blurted out, when it dawned on me just how awesome the Ramlord's gift was. I got nothing.
I'm sure you have something to offer, Mech said. After all, you are a traveler from distant lands. Isn't there something you learned in your culture that you could teach the Terrans before you go?
Like what? I racked my brain to think of something useful to give these people who meant quite a lot to me. I learned a little bit of Spanish in high school, but I'm not sure how good that'll do you guys. I sat there for a few more moments, trying to think of any other skills or nuggets of wisdom I could pass along that would be a worthy gift, but nothing came to mind. What did you give somebody who was royalty anyway? A fleet of ships? A giant sculpture effigy? No, practical was the key. So what were these Terrans lacking? Their guard force had taken a beating and was quite depleted as of late. Well, aside from me volunteering to be in their army, which wasn't going to happen, there wasn't much I could do on that end. I did have decent hand-to-hand combat skills, but that wasn't uncommon in a world like this. and as far as strategy and battle tactics went, I didn't have any training other than the maneuvers I perfected on the battleground of high school P.E. when we all played... oh, shit. Dodgeball.
Alex?
The Ramlord waved a beefy hand in front of my face, as if I'd been catatonic or something instead of just thinking for a few seconds, and I felt the urge to swat him away like a bothersome fly. The fact future mech was still leading me along with carefully planned words and actions should have been rather irksome, but as an idea started to take shape in my mind, I couldn't really be angry at him. After all, the Ramlord probably learned about dodgeball from future me anyway, so I really only had myself to blame. Or thank, if all that sci-fi garbage was anywhere close to being correct about time loops anyway. Time travel was confusing. Ugh.
You're a genius, I said in response to Mech poking my cheek. Or I'm a genius. However that works, the jury's still out. What is he talking about, Gavlane?
Siskern asked with a bemused look on his face.
It's probably some weird traveler glop. Pay it no attention, the Ramlord stage whispered,
and I couldn't help but snort.
Whatever the case, you're in good hands, my friend, because I recognize the particular gleam in our Alex's eyes. That gleam tells me he's figured out a perfect wedding gift for you and your uncle. Am I right?
You hit the nail right on the head, my good sir, I said in a breezy tone of voice, as I drained the last of my drink in a persnickety sort of way. But I'm not going to tell any of you until I can properly demonstrate it.
Well, that's not fair, the Ramlord said with a pout. Can't I have a tiny hint?
Nope, I said, as a slow grin spread across my face. But if you stay long enough, you might be able to help me with the demonstration.